in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking that we could pull, I don't know, Hall of Famer. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. There is nothing more fun than opening an Arena Club Slab Pack. I mean, it is so much better than any mystery pack that I've ever purchased because there is a focus on transparency. There is a display of available cards. There are hit rates you can get. When you're graded, you're given a rationale. It is the marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, and displaying. Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. Whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/badmoney. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack, that's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/badmoney for 10% off your first purchase.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You got problems that you ought to be concerned with. Moolah! You don't know how you're supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabby Dunn.
Hello, and welcome to Bad with Money, a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. I'm your host, Gabby Dunn. And this week on the show, I am so excited because some of my favorite movies involve robbing banks. Point Break is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I wanted to talk about the movie Set It Off, which is about a bunch of black women robbing banks. And I want to talk about it with my podcast producer extraordinaire, who does my other show, Just Between Us, a friend, incredible writer, strangely, soap opera fanatic, if you get to know her, Melissa D. Montz, who had never seen Set It Off. And I had also not seen it in about 10 years or so. And this revisit was really, really great. If you have not seen this movie, you need to go watch it. Pause the show and go watch Set It Off right now. It's maybe now one of my favorite movies. And we get into what the economy was like in the 90s when this type of movie was taking off, Queen Latifah's coming out and then going back in, the Jada Pinkett of it all. And we also talk about the systemic issues that are brought up in the film and how fucking real they are and why maybe we should all start robbing banks. Okay, enjoy. Can you tell my audience who you are and what you do?
My name is Melissa D. Montz, and I am a producer, writer, director, and I'm happy to be here today.
Melissa is the producer of my other show, Just Between Us, and she also appears on mic on Just Between Us. So
yes,
you know who she is if you like any of my stuff. So I wanted to do an episode about a movie about robbing banks.
Okay.
I mostly also just wanted to talk about robbing banks. And there are a lot of movies about robbing banks that I enjoy, Point Break being one of my favorite movies of all time. And so, okay, so what is your experience with Set It Off?
I have never seen Set It Off before. This is actually my first time. It's on a list of things, of movies that I should watch. Like, I have a list of ongoing list of movies that I'm like, these are movies that came out when I was a kid and I'm going to watch it. And so I've never seen it before. But I do remember when it came out. I was a little kid. I also was like not allowed to watch rated R movies until I was like 15, maybe. So I remember when this came out and everyone was talking about it, like everyone, like all the adults were talking about it. And they were, I think the biggest thing that I remember from being a kid was, I can't believe they shot her. And I went into the movie like, who's the her? Who's getting shot? And then two, a lot of talk about Queen Latifah's character being gay.
Yes. So I had seen Set It Off a long time ago. And it had remained in my pantheon of like female, like revenge kind of empowerment movies. And, you know, at one point they referenced Thelma and Louise. I think so a lot of times with these, I like to go back and look at the context of the time that this is happening. 1996 was actually a pretty good year for the economy. And I think, but they probably wrote and shot this, you know, a long time ago, right. Years ago. And the problems within their community are sort of evergreen problems. But there were a lot of reviews that came out at the time that compared it to Waiting to Exhale, which is kind of interesting because Waiting to Exhale is just like straight up about this, female empowerment, but yeah, it has no crime element.
Black women. That's the only thing that's the same. Nothing else is the same about that movie at all.
Right. So that's kind of this weird, like I noticed this weird sort of racial thing where they would constantly compare it to Waiting to Exhale, which I think came out in 1995. So the year before. And I
best
was like,
soundtrack you ever.
Could, really good. I was like, you could compare it to any crime movie. So that sort of struck me. And then this movie came out in 1996. Takashi Buford, who wrote it, and then I noticed also co-wrote it with someone named Kate Lanier, who I have never heard mentioned in the creation of this. but I was happy to see that there was a woman involved. He said that they took Set It Off to New Line Cinema 3 times before they rejected it, before they finally bought it.
I wonder why. The same reason why The Woman King got rejected so many times. Nothing has changed in the last however many years it's been. The people that are at making these decisions don't believe in Black audiences, and especially don't believe in Black female audiences, even though it's shown that Black people will show up to support Black people.
Yes. So Buford actually says, and this is so insidious, they blamed it on like inter-community. So he said that the reason they rejected it is because they thought Black men would not support a film with Black women gunslinging. So they just blamed it on another part of the Black community.
Oh my gosh.
Is truly wild. It was 1996, but still,
said now, so you can't even blame it on the time period.
Exactly. And then, fuck them all, it became New Line Cinema's highest grossing movie of 1996.
Amazing.
It was made with a budget of $9 million, and it went on to gross $41 million at the box office, a major success, and that is according to Tribute Magazine. So it's kind of one of those formats where regardless of who the leads are, you know what a bank robbery movie is. Mm-hmm. You know what a heist movie is. You know that it does well. To think that you couldn't put 4 Black women in that situation and have the movie do well is just – there's no excuse because it's just racism because heist movies always do well.
Right.
So in 1991, Point Break came out. Then in 1995, there was a film called Dead Presidents that was about a Black man, a Vietnam veteran, robbing banks. 1995, we have Heat. And then I was trying to look for other Black movies with women doing heists that weren't just like Rihanna in Ocean's 8. And in 2018, we had Widows, which I don't know if you saw that.
That was with Viola Davis, right?
Yes. And she's it's a bunch of women, but Michelle Rodriguez being one of them. So other women of color, but she's Viola Davis. Her husband, Liam Neeson, is a bank robber. He dies. Mm-hmm. They owe a bunch of money to a drug dealer. So she's like, I'm going to use the plans from his last heist that he never got to do. And all of us women are going to rob this bank. That has less societal implications than why the women robbed the banks and Set It Off. Widows is just like she's between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
The most recent bank robbery movie I saw was called Cherry with Tom Holland. And that is more similar to Dead Presidents because he's a war veteran. It's based on a true story. And he starts robbing banks because he doesn't have access to health care. And so he becomes a drug addict. So that has a bit more social commentary to it.
Right.
And Set It Off is almost entirely social commentary.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is it starts off with all black people know each other is the first thing that's part of the inciting incident of the movie.
Yeah. So basically, I'll start with recapping the movie and the parts that stuck out to me. So Vivica A. Fox is Frankie. She's a bank teller. A guy that she knows kind of from around the way, Darnell, comes and he's robbing the bank. And she's like, don't do this, don't do this. And then there's a huge shootout. So many people die. She sees a woman get shot in front of her. She gets blood all over her. But instead of having any compassion, the police, the LAPD, believe that she colluded with them and that she must be in on it because, as you said, all black people know each other.
Right.
Then her bosses fire her. And this is the inciting incident. She says, I nearly got blown away in your tired ass fucking bank and you're going to fire me. You couldn't wait because she had also just gotten a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So then when she walks away, Strode, who's played by John McGinley, who, funny enough, also played the cop chasing the bank robbers in Point Break.
Right.
So
yeah.
He's playing almost the exact same character that he played in Point Break. Although I will say this movie did give Strode a lot more emotional depth than I've seen before. From like that sort of cop character. But what do you make of this scene where it's like two things are happening? One, they believe that she must be in on it because she knew the guy. And two, that there's a part where there's a black woman cop named Waller and she kind of is like, hey, go fuck yourself on the way out. So what do you make of this opening scene?
So this opening scene, I just want to say, like, blanket statement, I thought this movie was well written and
really well
directed, and the acting was phenomenal. But the opening scene, I was like, as soon as she said, don't do this, I was like, they're going to blame her. They're going to think that she was in on it to begin with. And you can see how conflicted she is because she's kind of trying to tell him, get out of here because this is not going to end well for you. In the way of like someone that you would know, but like don't have that. You don't have like a in-depth relationship with it. So there was, I think that's part of her humanity, that there was hesitation there. And then when they bring her back and they're interrogating her, the pressure that is on her from the cops and the bosses both being there, everyone against her, no one giving her the benefit of the doubt. I was like, this feels very real. Like everything about that scene felt very real of, we don't want to see this woman succeed. We need to blame someone for this. Even though everything's going to be covered by insurance, then like, we still need a fallout person and we need to figure out the reason why. And she's the only connection that we have right now. So we're going to point the finger to her. But my first thought was, I mean, those are my initial thoughts. And then my next thought was like, you can sue for wrongful termination, but also litigation.
Then what?
It's not on your side. And there's not like, based on her situation as it was, it felt like that they were barely paying her enough anyway. She was there for 2 years and she had just got a promotion. Like, there was no faith for her to succeed to begin with.
Yeah. It's like a trap, a cycle. Mm-hmm. And they harp on her saying, well, how come you didn't do your procedures?
Right.
But like, I think sometimes even like a white bank teller or someone who didn't know that guy or whatever would hesitate because he's got a gun.
He's like, got it's a gun waving reasonable. In your face. You don't know how you're going to react in that situation. The trauma that she's going through of getting someone shot right in front of her.
She's still blood, covered in blood.
Yes, their blood is splattered on her, still covered in it. Like, she is going through shit and she's losing everything in this moment.
Right. Yeah, it's a really good scene. So then we jump to a 70s themed grad party.
Mm-hmm.
Stoney, who is played by Jada Pinkett, is throwing it for her brother Stevie. Her parents have passed away. you know, we meet Cleo, who's played by Queen Latifah. We meet Tashawn, who has a baby. And the big thing is that Stevie is going to go to college. Stoney's brother's going to go to college. Cleo says, you're going to be making all the loot, college boy. And then we find out that he actually isn't going to go to college because he can't afford it. Because even though, and there's a throwaway line about, well, they told us we could only apply to UCLA if scholarships were an option. And they're like, we know. But it turns out they weren't actually an option, which is like so still so relatable.
Right.
So then everyone is really upset about that. We see that a bunch of them work as janitors. They're being like treated like shit by their boss, Luther. They're going to be taking taxes out of Tashawn's paycheck, even though she said that she can't afford that because she can't pay a babysitter with the little that she makes now. And then he says, there's three peoples I don't mess with, the I, the R, and the S. He also says, why don't you just take your broke ass home? You know, it's interesting. This film puts a lot of Black people in positions of power. Like I noticed, like at the end when Strode is trying to convince his boss that he needs to go after Jada Pinkett, we're jumping ahead. They chose to make the boss a Black man. Their boss at the janitorial company is a Black man. They throw in a Black female cop, and I'm not 100% sure why, but I think maybe to highlight the. Which the banker boyfriend does too, highlight the disparity between the people that actually live in the projects area and the people that don't. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I think it's that. And also most of the people in power are still men too, except for the female cop.
Female cop, although she is getting yelled at by her white male bosses a lot.
Still, she's not the lead even in that situation too.
Right.
I do want to... talk about like Stevie going to college. I thought that was an important scene because I recently, my mom works at a university in charge of DEI at the university and
diversity and inclusion, just if people don't know.
And so she deals with a lot of students that come from lower income areas that do not know their options when it comes to college, when it comes to financial aid, when it comes to even like maybe even going to community college first. And I think that is, even though like a lot of these students are like the top of their classes and they're so smart and they could, if they knew what resources were out there, could get into college and get that financial aid that they need, but they just don't know.
So how do they find out?
Well, that's part of my mom's job is that she goes to these areas and educates the students on and the parents on like the options. And a lot of actually a lot of them don't even like trust the system too because they don't know
part of it.
They just don't understand how it is.
That comes up with Stevie too because he ends up going to visit the guys who had robbed the bank in the Acorn Projects and. You know, once he says that he's not going to college, he goes and hangs out with these people that he's familiar with.
Right.
He goes to hang out with these people that he trusts. And so, I mean, he doesn't live in the Acorn Projects, but the guy has an AP shaved into the back of his head. And the cops are looking for, from the security footage, a guy with AP shaved into his head as one of the bank robbers that got away. So Stevie gets that shaved into the back of his head. Because of the reason you said, like, why would you trust these systems? They already lied to you saying that you can get a scholarship when you couldn't. Mm-hmm. So go hang out with the people you know. Like,
He said he was going to get a job. Like, he's going to – and that just continues the cycle of him not being able to get out, even though that was what his sister who had been raising him. I don't think they shared how long their parents had been dead. Yeah,
later they say 4 years.
4 years. Okay. So his whole – high school career, essentially his older sister was raising him, who's still really young too. So, and she's doing everything she can to help him get to another situation, everything that she can, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days when you're running a business, and you would be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. The fact that you are able to reduce your IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud is incredible. And the ability to access your cloud financial system from anywhere saves you so much time and stress. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a new candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. It would be so much easier if I was looking for someone to help me with sweetening audio, or let's say someone to run my merch shop, or all the little things that go into running a podcast. Usually something like that would be so slow and overwhelming. And honestly, I wish I had used Indeed, and I will use Indeed in the future. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. You guys know that I have had allergies for forever. I've had seasonal allergies since I was a kid. It causes pressure in my face, under my eyes. They're my ultimate handbrake. When my nose is plugged up, I feel like I can't do anything. I can't enjoy food because I can't taste it. I can't work out because I feel tired and distracted. I can't even host this show because my voice sounds like a duck. And listen, I am already dealing with vocal strain from testosterone and my voice dropping. I don't need any more problems with allergies. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. I've been taking Claritin D for allergies like probably for the last 10 years or something, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can go outside without my eyes watering like a fountain. I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped in my throat. I get really embarrassed when I'm sneezing all the time. I have like an itchy nose or throat. Like just the itchiness in the back of your sinuses is like so distracting and so annoying. And I get like pressure in my ears too. It's really painful. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Yeah, so let's get into this next scene, which is absolutely harrowing. And it's wild that it's 1996 and this could have happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He exits the apartment with the AP shaved into the back of his head. The police, in what is insane overkill for arresting one bank robber who, whatever, they murdered people at the bank. Fine, he's a murderer. But like to apprehend one man, they send, I don't know, 5,000 cops. He has a bottle of champagne in his jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to pull it out. That was a gift. And he goes to pull it out. They mistake it for a gun. Ten guys just start firing for no reason.
Right.
And then Strode runs over and he's like, no, 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 no. Sees it's a bottle of champagne, is very upset. Stevie dies.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of this? I was so surprised to see this depicted in the way it was depicted. And I just like, you know, back then, I think now this could have been a scene in any movie or TV show and we would have all been familiar. But back then, I don't know that people were so desensitized because they didn't have access to all these viral videos and all these things of Black people being killed by the police. So like, what did you make of this scene's inclusion?
I mean, this would have happened after Rodney King, and this took place in L.A. So I don't think the audience then would have like been desensitized to it. But I was like, again, nothing has changed. And they left his body lying there while they're just basically it's just people standing around doing nothing. Just there. I was like, this is disgusting. And this has been happening forever and it's going to continue to happen forever. He had to lay down on the ground as they instructed. And he couldn't have that bottle of champagne inside his jacket. He laid down. He said, I'm taking this out. And they shot him. Somebody yelled, he's got a gun.
Right. And even if he did have a gun, by the way, there's no way that he would have had a chance against all of these cops. So like, he was on the ground. It doesn't make sense.
No.
I mean, it does. It's racist. But also, I think it was probably just shocking to me as a white person, truly. Mm. I think that's all it is. Like when I said desensitized, I really am realizing that I was speaking for white people.
Yeah.
And so the Stoney and the friends show up. She's hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
The police are concerned now because he has no priors and they realize that they just shot an innocent student.
Right.
So it's very bad optics. Strode, at least they kind of give him like he's really actually upset-ish. And Stoney is devastated. Jada is giving her best acting. She's her reason for living is gone.
It's gone. I mean, and this is after, too, he had told her that he didn't get accepted. And also she had gone and done sex work, slept with that man at the car dealership for money. Mm-hmm. Like everything that she's invested so much into her brother. And
yes.
And he ends up dead for something that he did not do.
I forgot to mention, we need to back up. This was huge. Stoney meets this guy, Nate Andrews, who runs a car lot. She's like, I want to work at the car lot. He's like, I want to fuck you. She says she needs the money in advance. She ends up going with him. She's crying.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her the check. And then Stevie says, I'm not even going to go to UCLA. I didn't even get in, basically. And then she tears up the check, which is like a pet peeve of mine from movies.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what? It's still $2,000.
It's still money. I felt the same way, too. I was like, you just like did what you needed to do for money. And like you tore up the check. Like you still had the money.
I hate in movies when it's like, I can't take this money. It's dirty money. I'm like, girl,
you earned it.
You earned it.
Yeah.
Like, why are you ripping up? I'm like, any movie where they're like, what was I just watching? Oh, Indecent Proposal. Like, she's like, I couldn't possibly take the money. It's dirty money that she had sex for. I was like, take the money.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? You already did the thing. Clean money and dirty money pay for the same shit.
The check would still clear the bank.
Yeah, exactly. So then I was a little bit confused because I was like, wait, so does this get rid of her motivation? Because isn't her only motivation for needing to rob a bank to get Stevie the money for college? But then later they rebuild her motivation because she's devastated. She's broken down and she's like, we got to rob a bank. And Frankie is already mad at banks because of what happened to her. So she's raring to go.
And she has all the information of how to get in, all the behind the scenes information, which is vital.
Yes. And then Cleo doesn't need any motivation. She's just like ready, raring to go.
Yeah. But I do think it's she's the only one that does have prior. So that could prohibit her from getting another job, too. So I think that's important.
Right. Yes. And she at one point later on, she mentions something about Stoney wanting money to get out of the hood, but she just wants money to live a good life in the hood. I thought that was fascinating.
Yes.
She's got a girlfriend. The girlfriend doesn't talk. And one thing I love about this movie is the dialogue is so authentic.
Yes.
And I think they... I was reading about the production of the movie. There was a lot of rewrites happening on the fly and a lot of dialogue. And Vivica Fox talks about how there was a lot of dialogue that they just worked on the fly and said, this is how we would actually talk, which I think is incredible. The director is F. Gary Gary, who, yes. if you don't know.
Icon.
He's done so many movies. He did The Italian Job. He did Straight Outta Compton. He's done just like a million music videos, basically all the ones that you can think, like TLC, Waterfalls. He's did Outkast, Miss Jackson. He's done basically every music video that It Was a Good Day. That's the one. Ice Cube's It Was a Good Day. Holy crap. Like, it's just like a power team of people behind this movie. But yeah, Vivica was saying that they did a lot of dialogue on the fly, which I think is what makes that scene of them on the roof so iconic.
Yeah, agree. It felt they sat around, like, I feel like they were sitting there for a while just like shooting the shit.
I think so. We also get a very funny line where Vivica tells Cleo she is strictly dickly. I was surprised to see Queen Latifah playing gay, especially because she like went back in the closet for a hot second.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an interview with her from 2017 where she says, when I got the role of amateur bank robber Cleo Sims and Set It Off, I sat down with my younger siblings and told them, listen, I'm playing a gay character. Your classmates might tease you or say negative things about it, but I'm doing it because I believe I can bring positive attention to the gay African-American community, and I believe that I can do a great job as an actor. They understood, and when those things inevitably happened in school, they were okay with it. People don't forget that the 90s was rough, guys.
Yeah, it was. Like, when I tell you, like, that's one of the things that I remember so much that the adults were talking about. I know I had a friend that even she had an older sister, and that's, like, mostly what she, like, everybody was like, I can't believe that Queen Latifah did this. And I'm like, even as a child, I was like, pretty sure she's gay. like, I'm a little kid. I'm like... I'm 10.
Okay.
Like, yeah, okay. And like we all watch Living Single. Like we see her music videos. Like we know, but it's more of just like, these are things that we don't talk about. And I'm like, whatever.
It's fascinating because they tried to have her do a bunch of romantic comedies where she was a straight woman for a while.
So many. She had a lot of romantic
Common,
comedies.
Opposite Common, uh-huh. Opposite. Yeah, a lot of them. And like, she did a good job in those movies, but I was like, okay. So I was just surprised that I forgot that she played this like very cool kind of like stud character. Mm-hmm. We just had that and then we let it go as a community. Get out of here. So then they talk about how it's not that bad to rob a bank because the bank has insurance. And I think Vivica Fox has this incredible line where she says, we're just taking away from the system that's fucking us all anyway.
Right.
Incredible. Beautiful. They go to the bank to case it. Stoney is staring at all the money, which I felt deeply, right? Like, it feels so arbitrary. Like, that money would change my life. And like, you know, to her, she's like, I've probably never seen that much money ever. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, this woman's just standing next to it, stacking it. Like, in my mind, I could viscerally feel her being like, just give me one.
Right.
Just give me
one. It's not going to hurt anything.
Right. So this bank manager, Keith, comes up and he's like, Jada is so fine. I want to ask you out. She takes his number and she is like, I'm not going to give you my number. I'm not going to give you my address, but I'll go to your house.
Yeah.
And he's pretty well off.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And then they go to work. And I'm like, no, don't get involved with the bank guy. But I also was like, oh, as a movie, that's such a good move.
It is. Yeah.
So then Tashawn comes to work. She doesn't have a babysitter. So she brings her baby to work. He accidentally drinks chemicals. They go to the hospital. Miss Wells from CPS is like, we have to take him, actually. She, again, like, such good writing. They're like, babies drink chemicals all the time. Like, it was clearly an accident. And mm-hmm. she's like, well, he was at your workplace.
Yeah.
And, like, there's just, like, it does such a good job of showing how everyone is in these situations that are so twisty that you, like, can't get out of them. Like, there's mm-hmm. no good choices.
Their boss there was saying, you know, had originally told her he would pay her under the table. And she's like, now I'm taking home even, I'm taking home half the money that I was making. So the money is still like enough where she needs to go to work, but not enough for her to get childcare. And it's just sad. Like, that's just the system that she's in, is that she, and then she, the child gets taken away.
Yep.
By an organization.
By
a Black woman, but also a Black, an organization that gives money to people so that they can take care of their children. So why, I just don't understand, like, give the money to the mother so that she can have childcare.
Yes, that's it. I also found it very interesting to have that character played by a Black woman and to have pay for childcare or you get a court date.
Mm-hmm.
It's again, like, it's just extremely unfair. Like, everything that happens is unfair. Stevie's death is unfair. Taking away Juwan is unfair. Frankie getting fired up top, completely unfair.
Right.
But it's unfair in these ways that are ring so true. Mm-hmm. Like, they could easily just be like, do, you know, the opposite of a deus ex machina. Like, you know, oh, that just happened. But these are written so well that because they are so real.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide, so Vivica Fox tells them, you know, we want to get 20 G's or 35 G's. Don't tell the merchant to take the right-hand clip. That's how they are able to call the police. She talks about the cow, which is the small vault on wheels. So they're getting ready to rob this bank. They go to sort of like a DIY gun range. They meet Black Sam, who is played, I think, by Dr. Dre.
Yep.
And this is Dr. Dre's first film role. This
I can
is also Tishon, I know. Yeah. This is also Tishon, Kimberly Elise's first film mm-hmm. role. And this is Queen Latifah's first leading role ever.
This is before Living Single?
First leading film role.
Film role.
It's okay. After Living Single.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we learn that Cleo steals cars. They want it. They want guns. He says, hook me up with Frankie and you can have my guns. Basically, there's a lot of like, trade me a woman for a thing.
Managing my finances is incredibly stressful and time-consuming. I'm sure you guys know. You've been with me on this journey. You know how many finance apps I've tried. You know how much they haven't worked for me. And I'm always on the hunt for a finance app that fits my life. And then I tried Monarch. It is so easy to use with powerful features, collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, constant product improvements. I really value an app that allows me to do all of this without confusion. And especially important to me is intuitive design and the ability to personalize, because clearly finance is not one size fits all. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Have you been frustrated with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads, difficult to use, rarely updated? So was Monarch. They built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive and powerful and ad-free and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Plus, there's ad-free privacy you can trust. We will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. I love to track progress. As you guys know from listening to this show, I'm constantly tracking my progress. What have we done so far in 2024? And spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans like for a car or a home. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. That's right, you can build your credit using your own money. Get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. With a qualifying direct deposit, you can get access to your money sooner. Fee-free overdraft with SpotMe. Overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualified direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance. Access 60,000 plus fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Easily find one near you with the Chime app. Send and receive money. Use Chime to pay anyone, Chime members or not, and cash out your money fee-free. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
They go to a smaller bank and try to knock off that bank in order to, I guess, test it out and time it. They end up making 12 Gs, not that much. They each get $3,000.
Life-changing for them, though. $3,000 is still like enough to make a difference in their lives.
TT says they weren't ready. Queen Latifah is like, if I didn't set it off, you would have been casing banks. We have the title of the film in the dialogue, which is something I very much enjoy. Also, this thing that they don't do anymore, which Queen Latifah has a song called Set It Off that is on the album, the motion picture soundtrack for Set It Off. Why don't we do that anymore? The lead in the film should always sing the song that is the song of the film.
Agree.
And I don't care who it is. They don't have to be a rapper. They don't have to be anything. There's a Matt Bronner joke that I love where he says he wants like that back. And he's like, I want Leonardo DiCaprio rapping about Inception.
I feel like there was one too where she's a song that came on that I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Queen Latifah singing. Like, cause you know, she's also a beautiful singer. And I'm pretty sure it was her singing. I'll have to go back and look at the soundtrack, but it's when she's driving in the car and in the car at one point, and there's a song playing. I'm like, I think that's her singing.
That's Inception.
Yeah.
Queen Latifah exists in the universe where Cleo exists. So nobody says, hey, don't you look exactly like Queen Latifah? I love that. TT chickens out and says they weren't ready. Frankie's like, well, I'm not going to give you a cut of the money then. Eventually they work it out. This weird thing happens where they go hang out, Jada Pinkett and the bank manager guy played by Blair Underwood, who spoke at my college graduation.
Did he? I remember like as a kid, women like being like, he's so hot. And I was like, I don't see it, but I was a kid. And then when he walked on, when he like showed up on screen, I was like, that man is beautiful. But yeah, he's really beautiful. He spoke at your graduation.
He spoke at my graduation because the school had recently been accused of racism.
Okay.
So they got Blair Underwood as our speaker.
Did he graduate from there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Anyway, he says something weird, which is like, I want to go to a restaurant in your hood.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they go to a black-owned restaurant.
I get it a little bit. I get it. As someone like that grew up around white people, the neighborhood that I picked to live in, I picked it because it was closer to more black people because I've never lived in a neighborhood with black people. So I get it.
He also says it's hard to believe you're this hard when you're so beautiful. They have this because she's like, she's beaten down from Stevie's death. She is not in a good place. And so then they have this really interesting conversation. She asks him, do you feel free? And he says, hell yeah. And she says, well, I don't feel free. I feel very much caged. And he says, well, what are you doing to get out of it? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And she's like, I can't plan for 5 years from now. I don't know. I wrote, he doesn't get the realities of her world.
Yeah.
He's clearly wealthy.
He's clearly wealthy. They also pointed out that he took over the lease from his brother. So like, he comes from money. He is Harvard educated. And I think I just want to go back to the thing about him going, wanting to go to the restaurant in her hood. He wanted to show that, like, just because he has money and that he grew up a certain way, that he's still like down, like he's still one of the people. I think that's the meaning of that scene.
And it was nice that they mentioned black-owned restaurant, mm-hmm. I think.
He said, because, I like that, yeah.
So then Strode wants to bring in Stoney because he thinks that she's one of the bank robbers. His boss is like, absolutely not. We are hounded by the press because you mm-hmm. killed Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Cleo fucking her girlfriend on a car. She stopped going into her job. They're like, mm-hmm. no, we have to act normal, which yeah, is like
she got her car
thing,
painted
right?
too.
We have to act normal. We have to act like we don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
She's bought a bunch of stuff. They are like, the money has you tripping.
In her second scene, one of the guys pulled up to her and said, like, you need to do something about your car because your car is beat up. It's messed up. Like, you need to get your car fixed. And that's what she did with the money. So that mm-hmm. is her way of showing that I've come up a little bit. So her getting, because it got fixed because later, not to spoil the rest, but later when they're trying to get away, they go get her car because it's faster now because she got the actual engine fix on it, and then she got it painted too. So them having sex on the car is like big for her because she's done something to come up a little bit.
And I think it shows, you know, the scene right before that is like, what are you doing to plan for the future?
Mm-hmm.
Queen Latifah's like, I'm just trying to like make my current life better.
Yes.
And like, you can't fault either of them.
Mm-hmm.
She gets pissed and she has the big fight with Stoney and she ends up holding a gun to her head. And then Stoney goes and meets with Keith, the
Stoney
bank manager.
Stoney smacks the shit out of her though.
Well, yeah. It's like weird to say that it's cool to see women acting this way, but it was cool to see women acting
I'm like,
this way.
Like people see Jada Pinkett how she is now and don't realize like she grew up in Baltimore and she sold drugs. Like that mm-hmm. woman is scrappy as hell. And I think mm-hmm. like that really showcases that.
She asks Keith, what do you think about friends and money? And he says, don't you lose that friend over money. Money mm-hmm. you can replace easily. Friends, real friends, you can't. And that is foreshadowing.
Yeah.
They end up kissing, which is like now they're sort of more seriously seeing each other. Cleo has this line where we just talked about where she says, we ain't nothing but hood rats. I can live with that. You can't. I don't think about 5 years from now. I'm just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
Which is like the thesis of what's different about them.
Yeah.
They have this really funny scene where they're negotiating the next bank robbery and Vivica A. Fox is pretending to be the godfather.
Oh my gosh, this scene killed me. I loved it so much.
Why did you love it? And what do you think about the idea of placing black women as these like big white guy mafiosos?
It wasn't just like navigating them like deciding what the next hit was. It was also they were doing the things of like the families, which in mob terms, like the different people that control the different areas. So it was like the families are coming together to reconcile. So it's also a reconciliation between Cleo and Stoney. And so I thought that was beautiful how they did it in a way of like, hey, they didn't do it like, hey, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings too. Let's hug it out. No, we're going to act this out in a way. And it also shows because a lot of times, most of the time, people in like mobster movies are glorified for being like these people that have so much money. They're different because, you know, they're still like, you know, taking care, protecting people in the neighborhood. And they may be doing illegal things, but they're still like good at heart. And then when they showcase black gangsters, quote unquote, then they're like, just like hood. They come from nothing. They're just the scum of the earth. When you glorify mobsters who are also gangsters, it's the same thing. And so I think it's showing like, one, we've got them reconciling without it being corny. Two, adding some humor before everything goes to shit. Three, showing that, you know, they're doing the same things that they're doing in these glorified mob movies. They're just coming from less. And so it takes a little bit more to get them to the point where they're being glorified, which doesn't, again, there's no black gangsters in quote unquote gangster movies that are glorified in the same way that mobsters are glorified. And then also just like showing that they have a plan. This is not like just some rookies that are just going out to rob a bank for no reason, but they have a plan to get to their next level.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of these white guy mafiosos or, you know, a lot of empathy extended to Tony Soprano and Walter mm-hmm. White. And not the same extended to Black people doing almost the exact same things in films.
Yeah.
So I thought this was so smart and I thought really, really well done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So they're going to rob another bank, and a homeless guy is causing a scene outside. At first, I thought maybe he was doing it for them, but it actually fucks them over because now 1 million cops are outside for this homeless man, which, again, like, so LA.
Yep.
So they're like, fuck, what are we going to do? There's so many cops outside. Cleo ends up driving the car into the bank.
SUV that she just robbed somebody for, which I love that scene of where we just see her with her hands behind her back with gloves on, with the gun in her hand, approaching the guy to get the Suburban.
Yeah. So they take home $75,000 a piece, which in today money is $141,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Even $75,000 now is a lot.
Yeah. That's like a down payment on a
home.
That's
more than they probably made.
Ever.
Their whole life. Yeah.
Ever in their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
They hide the money in an air shaft at their work, which is a huge mistake. Meanwhile, Jada goes to a big banking networking party with Keith. She shows up in this kimono that she borrowed from Frankie. He's like, no, he buys her a really nice black dress, which is something that also happens in Indecent Proposal, a movie I watched last weekend. My references are so dated. Like, for like the longest time, I would like compare everything to The Sopranos because I had just watched The Sopranos. And now I'm like watching these erotic thrillers and I'm like, this is like Fatal Attraction. And people are like, that, what, why?
Yeah, I mean, it's fresh on your mind.
Will I ever reference something that came out this year? No, I won't. She does a really good job, Stoney, of talking about what she does by saying, well, my personal portfolio, I diversify it with different income streams, which I thought was very clever.
Yeah, and impressed the other people that were there too.
Yeah, it shows that she has the ability to code switch, to walk into a room full of people from a different class, and she kind of pulls it off.
Yeah, yeah. She's very unsure of herself as she's walking in, but as she's listening to them talk, you can see her grow her confidence. And when they think that she's just gonna, when they ask her like what she does, they think that, you know, it's not going to be something. And Keith is about to like essentially answer for her, but she's, no, I got this. And I thought it was nice, a nice touch.
It also creates another layer between her and Cleo, and I think also the gay and the straight, right? Right, where Cleo is gay, she knows that she can't really pass in these areas, whereas Stoney, part of me my heart started breaking because I was like, Stoney could marry Keith and not do any of this.
Yes.
And leave all of this behind and go to the suburbs. She would be leaving behind her friends and the life that she knows.
Yeah.
But she could not do any of these crimes and just go live in the suburbs with Keith.
Yeah. But he is very keen on like knowing the real her and also letting her know that friendship is important. So
that's why like every single character in this movie is written with such three-dimensional. Like the cops aren't villains. They're bad, but like Strode has a lot of meat to him.
Yeah.
Keith has a lot of meat to him.
I also wonder like the meat that he has, Strode, was that a studio note? Like,
I believe
in order to get it made. I feel this is a big kind of problem that I have with the movie is that like the main cops that we're following come off as like kind of there's a soft spot. They're kind of decent, but
I didn't come away with any. As soon as he shot Stevie, I was like, he's dead to me. But towards the end, he does get like a slight redemption. He didn't shoot him, but as soon as he was part of the shooting of Stevie, yeah,
he was.
Was
but
like,
he was also
here.
Trying to tell them to hold,
to stop.
Yeah,
I know.
Like he's the one that's like telling people to stop, and then like they're giving empathy to the main white man, and I wonder if that was always part of the script.
Well, I read an article that said that the first draft, none of the characters had really like that much motivation. And eventually they gave them all sort of heavier backstories. I assume probably the studio note was also give him a backstory. Mm-hmm. I think they probably, because Blair Underwood's a man, they said give him more of a backstory. But it does make for a better movie.
Yeah, it does. It does.
But yeah, it definitely reeks of studio note.
Mm-hmm.
But it just is such an interesting contrast. And also they have a sex scene with Keith and Stoney where there's candles. It's beautiful. There's an oil massage. It's a huge contrast to her getting essentially like sex work raped by that guy.
Because after she got sex work raped, there's a scene of her just like crying in the shower and trying to clean herself. And she was enjoying herself with Keith.
Right. Like now she can kind of go into these worlds. Mm-hmm. So back to some sort of funny stuff. They go to work and they realize that Luther quit, which means he probably found the money. He did. Mm-hmm. Shit. They go to a hotel. He's fucking some woman. He has a gun. They're like, give us our goddamn money. TT shoots him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a trope in films where the one that you would least expect it suddenly mm-hmm. commits the murder. So then Strode comes after Cleo and is like, we need you for a lineup. Cleo, who had taken the ID of the witness and put it in her pocket.
Yes.
And was like, I'll come to your goddamn house. Mm-hmm. You saw fucking nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In the lineup does this very funny thing where the woman, Alyssa, is like, they can't see me, right? Which like, mm-hmm. no, but Cleo knows who it is.
Yes.
So when she turns for the lineup, she taps her pocket like,
yes,
your
I
ID
love
is right
that.
Here.
And the look on that woman's face was like, nope, not snitching.
So she's like, I don't recognize any of them. Also, to be fair, she's not lying.
Yeah, because they asked her
because they said
who shot him. So she's not lying.
She's not lying.
Mm-hmm.
So then they have to rob again now because they don't have the money. Also for TT because she killed Luther, and also she doesn't have the money to get her son out of CPS's clutches. Mm-hmm. So they decide they're going to rob Stoney's boyfriend's bank.
Because mm-hmm. it has the most
again,
money.
Yes. And it's again this thing of friends over money.
Yeah.
So like Keith is her love, but he also represents money.
Mm-hmm.
So to her, it's like you have to rob his bank because you have to choose your friends over money, which is something he even said. Although, to be fair, rich people love to be like, choose your friends over money.
I mean, and he said money comes easy and it does not for them. Money does not come easy for them.
I that pinged for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a restaurant. They don't have enough money to pay the bill. So they dine and dash. Just again, highlighting what the circumstances are, which is very dire.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing a video of the robberies. Keith starts to recognize that it is Stoney at the robberies.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to believe it. It looks like on his face. Then she calls him and says, can you meet me for lunch? And he realizes she's trying to get him out of the bank because she's about to rob it.
Yeah. And
he doesn't rat on her.
He tells the officers, let's go out the back door.
Yeah. So he's like tacitly on her side.
Yeah.
They get there. They do the robbery. Cleo wants more money. Stoney says, let's go. There's basically like a don't get greedy, whatever, mm-hmm. let's take the most kind of mentality between the two of them. And I love in heist movies where they say don't get greedy.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite tropes. They're like, just take the money, don't get greedy. And then there's always one person who's like, what if we took two diamonds?
Right.
Fuck it up for everyone else. Uh-huh. They end up in front of Strode, who's like, Stoney, Cleo, don't do this. TT and Stoney start to put their guns down. A white security guard rolls up and just starts fucking shooting, shoots TT. Cleo starts firing because Lord knows she doesn't need a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then TT dies.
Once we got that shocked me. That shocked me. I knew somebody was going to get shot because of what the elders were saying when I was a child. I knew somebody was going to get shot, but that shocked me that that security guard of all people came out of nowhere and just started firing. Ran in front of the cops. I was like, wow, the gall.
The white man just
the
feels
gall
like he
on
can
this
just
white man running in front of the cops, the detectives. I think they're detectives, right?
Yeah. What do you make of them putting their guns down and Cleo not.
So what I make of it is that when TT has something to live for, she needs to live for her son. And then Stoney is still like, she wants to get out. She still like, she still has something to live for. And then Cleo just like, we see it more later too, is that she has her girlfriend, but other than that, like she doesn't have anything to lose. She doesn't, she's not trying to get out, really get out of the situation that she's in. This is for,
I don't think she feels like she can. I mean, yeah, her being gay, it's not really part of, it's not explained, but like her being gay is definitely a huge part of it, especially being a very masculine gay woman, like being a butch woman. She does not have the opportunities that Jada Pinkett has.
Yes.
She doesn't.
She doesn't. And even the person that they were working for before that gets shot, that gets killed, he is always calling her sir. And just like, yeah, she just doesn't like, and I think, you know, even though Queen Latifah is gorgeous, but in this movie, a lot of Jada's pretty privilege is playing upon who she is. And I mean, that's a lot of what Keith is saying. It's like, I can't believe you're so hard, you're beautiful, this hard, and you're this beautiful. And like, he just, every time he's complimenting her on her looks.
Yes. That happens to Jada a lot. Mm-hmm. They even kind of go out of the way to show Dr. Dre is interested in Frankie.
Yes.
Then we can reasonably assume that TT, because she has a child, has at some point had a boyfriend, let's say. So like, we're kind of shown that like Queen Latifah has this extra barrier that other people don't have. So they're on the run. They're in the car, as you said, Queen Latifah's car, and they're in the tunnel and they realize they're trapped. And Queen Latifah says, leave me, take the money, go split up on foot. And then it's this truly heartbreaking scene where you know she's going to do suicide by cop. You know, like she saves her two friends. And then she drives, she smokes a cigarette.
It was so gangster. This was just
so gangster.
I was like, okay. She set
And then what
music.
Happens? She lights the cigarette. She does what else?
Well, she puts on her song. She lights the cigarette. She just kind of like, she drives. Oh yeah, the helicopter is low and they think that they've got her. And she just keeps driving, causing the helicopter to have to move. She drives and then she gets barricaded. And, we're just like, okay, this is the end for her. And she gets shot up in her car, which is her most prized possession, gets shot. There's so many bullet holes in this car.
So many.
And then we think she's dead and she's not. She lifts her head, gets out, and then starts firing the guns and dies because they're firing at her and collapses on the door of her car.
This is Scarface. Like, this is like, a performance that, like you said, till now has been afforded to like gangster movies by white men. Like she is, this character is like, I mean, and Scarface was meant to be a Latino man, although played by Al Pacino. But yeah, like, I mean, this is just like something that you do not see from women of color in movies, especially black women. Like it's a scene that is just like,
yes. And she sacrificed herself for her friends.
For her friends. Stoney manages to sneak onto a bus wearing a sombrero, which is a fun little callback to when Keith cooks her Mexican food because she's never been out of Los Angeles.
Right.
Now she's getting on this bus with this, you know, sombrero. Frankie gets caught right before she can get on the bus. She starts to run and she's also shot.
Yeah, but hers is gangster too, because the detective that's been following them the whole time, he's like telling everybody to put their guns down, like everything's fine. He walks up to her. He's got his gun down. He's trying to reason with her.
So in the beginning, he was yelling at her and he was like, what is the protocol for when you're being robbed? And she's like trying to explain herself. And he's like, no, what's the protocol? And so he has no empathy for her. Then towards the end, she puts a gun to his neck and goes, what's protocol when someone has a gun to your head?
Yes.
And he's like, and she's like, what's the protocol?
I thought that was a good callback too.
It's almost like a perfect screenplay. Okay, so then she gets shot and then Strode looks up and he sees Jada on the bus leaving, mm-hmm. and he lets her go.
Yeah. He realizes that the reason that everything got set off is because her brother was killed. So good, this is kind point. Of his like, I'm sorry to her, but still not enough, but
no,
something for him.
She gets to a hotel. She has all this money, but she misses her friends. Mm-hmm. And there's like this thing that they used to do in movies, yeah. where they just play
scenes. I was like, this is scenes, so 90s.
Where they just play scenes you already saw, yeah, but she's thinking about them. Like, we just saw this.
Yeah.
But she's like, remember this, guys? Mm-hmm. And we're like, yes, from half an hour ago, yeah. we know. And she's like, I'm sad about my friends. Here's some stuff you've already seen. So 90s. And then, which I was like, oh my God, they don't do that anymore. They,
no.
I don't know if they just reasonably assume you remember what happened 45 right. minutes ago or what. But I want that in movies. And I want the lead actor to have to rap about the movie for the soundtrack. I don't understand why. And it doesn't even have to be the lead actor. Let's say it's like Coolio doing Gangster's Paradise, but Michelle right. Pfeiffer has to be in the music video.
Yes. I mean,
otherwise, what are we doing?
I remember the song that they played during the love scene with Keith and Stoney.
Oh my God. And Vogue.
The In Vogue song. Ugh. That music video is like half of the, is like a lot of the movie too. And so the music video is to the movie.
That song, I was watching it, and Mal heard that song from the other room and just went, didn't know what I was doing, and went, I love that song.
That's one of my all-time favorite songs. I probably play that song at least twice a month. I love that song so much.
They just, they did a lip sync to it on Drag Race, and it was, like, iconic. Yeah, it's so good. It's En Vogue's Don't Let Go. Mm-hmm. It's so good. So then Jada starts cutting her hair. Now she's shaved her head. She is in Mexico. She calls Keith. He's like, I hope you, she kind of doesn't say anything at first. Then he's like, I hope you're okay. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, thank you or whatever. And then she gets in her Jeep and she drives off into the Mexico
coastline. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sort of the same ending as this isn't a bank robbery movie, but True Romance, which is one of my favorite movies, also ends in Mexico with them sort of getting away with the money.
They pull out to that wide shot to show that, like, she's free.
She's free. Mm-hmm. I will say that we talked about the Godfather aspect of it, and I forgot that there's this tidbit I read that half the budget went to paying for the use of the theme music from The Godfather for that one scene.
Wow.
I know. So what are your thoughts on the themes of this movie, and, like, what did you love about it?
Oh, okay. So I thought, like, going into this movie that it was just going to be about them robbing banks, because that's mostly most of the things that I've seen from this movie are from the En Vogue music video. So I was surprised at how much heart is in this film. Like, there's everybody has a reason and a meaning for being there. Everyone is on screen, like, giving phenomenal performances. The music is great. There's just small things that they just plant and everything pays off. Even like with Cleo, which we didn't bring up, her like always having a song that she's driving to, like going through everybody's music while she's getting
stealing
ready.
It's cars.
It's her hype thing. And that's part of her, because she lives in a car garage. Like she knows how to fix cars. Like, that's part of her story. And then she knows how to steal these cars. But ultimately that's what tips the police off, because her fingerprint is on it and she has the prior. Yeah.
It's just so good. Every character is, well, it's how people speak,
the motivations behind it, the social commentary from everything from cops to who you can trust, to who your actual friends are, to the power dynamics, to the empowerment. I wouldn't even say, like, them existing is an empowerment in itself, because they're doing what they need to do to survive. They're doing what they need to do to have, like, some say in how their actual lives go, instead of being dependent on other people.
And systems that don't work.
And systems that, that's the thing is, though, the systems work for the people that they're supposed to work for. The systems are not set up to work for Black women.
You're right. That is actually worse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited because I finally, like, this forced me to see this movie that I've been waiting to see like my whole life. So this has been, this was phenomenal. Thank you.
It was maybe now one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Like I'm going to go back and watch it again.
Where can people find you and more about you?
People can find me at She Is Not Melissa on all social media. I host two podcasts with my friend Megan, one called Don't Blame Me and the other one called But Am I Wrong? They're both advice podcasts. But Am I Wrong is if you didn't take our advice and then you got fucked over. So now you're asking if you were wrong for what you did. So come listen to us. We like to call ourselves ethical shit talkers. I also appear on Gabby's other podcast, Just Between Us, that I also produce. And go to my website, melissadmonts.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was our breakdown and takedown of Set It Off. It wasn't really a takedown because we absolutely loved it. If you like the show, please give it a 5-star Apple review and listen to it the day it drops so we can get on the charts and spread the word. If you want to write in at gabbyisbadwithmoney@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail at 844-474-4040. You can also leave me a voice memo if you prefer, if you want to send that in to gabbyisbadwithmoney@gmail.com. We're on Instagram, Discord, TikTok, and Patreon. Links to all of those will be in the description below. If you have an idea for a movie or a TV show or book or song that you want us to break down and take down, or even an idea for a guest that I could do it with, let me know. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.